physical science, you see, is not really what you see. In fact, what you see is not reality. It's made up in your head and mine. Let's continue this quest into the weird and wonderful with Geraint Lewis's latest book, The Cosmic Revolutionary's Handbook, or How to Beat the Big Bang.
Okay, this book comes from experience in that co-author Luke Barnes is at Western Sydney University. We give a lot of public talks. So we talk on cosmology, we talk about the evolution of the universe, etc. And question and answer session at the end, there's always somebody in the audience that doesn't like what we've said. They don't like the notion of a big bang. They don't like dark matter. They don't like dark energy. They don't like the expanding universe. They don't like Einstein. There's a whole mix of things that goes on that people argue about. And we also get lots of emails and letters about people that rail against the standard cosmological model. And they often have their own ideas of how they think the universe works. And they're frustrated because scientists simply won't listen to them. And of course, they've gathered a lot of their knowledge from pop science. I think at some level they think pop science is science. What we wanted to lay out in the book that we have is essentially what is the observational evidence that astronomers use to build up the picture of the Big Bang Theory, and outline that if you want your theory to supplant the Big Bang Theory, you're going to have to explain this observational evidence as well as the Big Bang picture does, if not better, before scientists will take note. Number one fact, the night sky is dark, right? It's Olber's paradox. It's one of the nice, famous sort of philosophical scientific ideas. If your scientific theory can't explain that simple fact, you're already in trouble.
Why isn't the sky ablaze? Because there are so many stars, there's so much light, it should be on all the time.
And that's right. And so if you have a universe that has existed forever, and you have a universe filled with stars, but then you better be able to explain why the night sky is dark and not as bright as the surface of a star. And this has been realized for hundreds of years, this question. And of course, what we now know is that our universe isn't infinitely old, right? We haven't had time to receive light from infinitely far away. We've only got a universe of finite size within the Big Bang picture. So we work our way through the various key observational bits of evidence, how it's explained in terms of the Big Bang Theory, and also how these observations have slain some of the alternative ideas that people have put forward. And it's kind of funny, these people will still bring up ideas like Fred Hoyle's steady state universe from the 1940s and 50s as if it's still a viable contender in this fight for explaining the universe. Whereas we know that from a whole range of observation, it's been ruled out for decades. But that doesn't seem to have filtered into the popular mind. It's still out there as a fighter, as are a whole bunch of other ideas.
These popular mind people, are they ones who are well versed in some of the science, or do they just have a big belief?
It's a bit of both. There is a large number of retired engineers. So there are people with some mathematical background. They're not coming from completely left field. They do have an idea of how some aspects of science work. But often they haven't got the mathematical abilities to build their theories into a way that a scientist would want to see a theory developed. And often it's can you help me with my maths is one of the cries that we hear. My ideas are perfect. They can explain everything if I could just work out the maths. So, yeah, they're very recognizable. When you give a talk, you sort of know in advance who's going to be asking those questions.
One of the first persons I interviewed way back in 1972 was Fred Hoyle.
Oh, yeah.
And he was chairing the Anglo-Australian Telescope Board. And he's a wonderful person because he'd done such brilliant work, for example, on working out where the elements come from being cooked in stars.
Absolutely.
But he didn't get the Nobel Prize because he'd been so quirky on other stuff, not simply denying the Big Bang, but also, in lots of ways, denying Darwin and evolution, saying that it's as likely to get someone, the collection of chemicals coming together and being Geraint Lewis, as a wind going through a junkyard and forming a 747 jet.
That's right, yes. Yep. Look, Fred Hoyle is definitely one of my scientific heroes. I don't have many scientific heroes. And I did actually, when I was a graduate student back in the late 90s, shortly before he died, I actually went to one of his talks in Cambridge University. And I still think when he was on the ball, he was really there. But he did wonder. But I think that's a sign of one of those minds, right? You think of problems and you cannot be right all the time. I think we may even be, as modern science, we're too scared of being wrong. I know that he was very wrong in a lot of things, but at least he thought about these things. And they are thought-provoking. He was a giant of the last century, I think.
Geraint Lewis at the University of Sydney, and his book is called The Cosmic Revolutionary's Handbook.